Hey, my name is Caleb. I am the student pastor here. If I don't know you, haven't had the chance to meet you, I just want to say that I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. I'm going to pray for us real quick, then we're going to kind of get into tonight. God, I thank you just for being here in this place. Lord, I thank you for calling us here. Lord, no matter what it took for us to get here, Lord, we know that you are sovereign, meaning you have a plan and a purpose for us, Lord, and you've brought us here to this place tonight, God, for the opportunity that we may open your word, we may hear from you, Lord, and so we ask, God, that you would help us to understand it, God, that we'd be changed by it, that you'd be in our small group time, God, that you would move in that. We give this time to you, Lord, we love you, we trust you, thank you, amen. Hey, so if you are brand new, you just need to know what happens tonight if no one has told you, if your friend like kept it a secret or whatnot. I know a couple weeks ago, like some people brought their boyfriends or girlfriends, like, oh, this is going to be the harbor, this is great. And then we're like, hey, we're going to small groups. And they're like, we're doing what? So just so you know, after this, we're going to break into small groups if this is your first time and you're going to go to a small group with same gender, same grade, so girls 6th grade or guys 12th grade, like wherever you're at, you'll go to that place. We'll kind of help you get there if you're new. If you're totally lost, come find me. I'll hang out for a minute and I can help you find where you need to go. We're in the middle of this relationship series. We've called it the dating phenomenon, and here's why. You need to understand this. For you, it's not a phenomenon. I need you to hear this. For you, relationships right now are not a phenomenon. But for the rest of the world that looks at the way that teenagers and people and millennials, even people my age, are handling relationships, it's something that's never really been this way before. That y'all are doing and acting in ways that is a phenomenon, that is new. It's a new way of acting. Now, here's the thing. Churches and youth ministries often get the reputation that we hate relationships, that we do a dating series, especially if you're like a senior in here, you're like, man, we always do this. And then they make me feel guilty, and then like they hate relationships. No, like you need to understand that I actually don't hate relationships. I love relationships. I think relationships are crucial for you. They're crucial for me. Like, they are good. Relationships are good. I want to start tonight out with you understanding where we stand. Relationships are good. They're good. But don't just take it from me. If you got into God's word, you would see that God says relationships are good. In Genesis, he looks at Adam, who is alone, and he says, you know what's not good is that he would be alone. And so what he does is he gives Adam a partner that they would then be in relationship. And he looks at it and he says, now that is good. That relationships are something not only that are good, but they're something that you have actually been created for. That in you is a desire, one thing that pulls us all together, no matter where we come from, what we believe, how long we believe, what we believe, any of that, no matter what our family looks like, you need to know what's common about you, what's common about me, what makes us the same, is we all crave relationships. In you is this desire for relationships, and here's why. Because relationships feed a deep part of your soul that is hungry for that, that relationships feed your soul, that you need them. That over the past few months where there was isolation and there was quarantine and people were ripped from their relationships, hear me, students, hear me. That over the past few months, they've done research, and you know what they found? That people isolated from relationships actually suffer more depression. They actually suffer with brain development, that your brain actually develops less and not normally outside of relationships. They found out that if you are not in relationship, you are more apt to being physically ill. That you will get sick more often and more critically if you were to isolate yourself. They say in extreme parts of isolation, you begin to hallucinate. That you think you hear voices and things. That you need relationships, that I need relationships. That in fact, you and I need people around us who encourage, love, and care for us. If you're a note taker, you need to write that down, that you and I, we need people. That you need people around you to say that, hey, I care for you and I love you and you're valuable. That we need those people in our lives. However, as some of you know, that relationships done in the wrong way, hear this, that relationships done in the wrong way can be as equally devastating as not having any relationship at all. So I just told you, man, that the product of not having a relationship affects you physically, emotionally, mentally. It messes you up. Well, you should also know that a relationship done in the wrong way can have as equally devastating effects on you as not having a relationship at all. The consequences are different, but the damage is equally as great. I even think back to my first act of vandalism. Now, I'm not bragging about it. I'm actually kind of ashamed of it. I mean, I've told some of you about it, that in the sixth grade, me and my friend hanging out, finding some time where we were unsupervised, and we just coated a dude's house in his car in mud cloths. Like, we thought it was the coolest thing. But what happens is it wasn't the coolest thing. The guy comes out, he realizes this is not the coolest thing, calls the police on two sixth graders, and we end up being in a ton of trouble. Why? Because the relationship was kind of done with me and my friend the wrong way. It wasn't a dating relationship. It's not a romantic. It's just a relationship. But any relationship done the wrong way can be devastating. Can be devastating. 1 Corinthians says, hey, this is especially true. God's word says, hey, this is especially true for your dating relationships, the relationships where you might be romantic. Now, sixth grade, maybe some of you seventh graders, I'm going to need you just to hang with me for a second, because what I realize what's going on in your life right now, sixth and seventh graders, is that you may not actually really be attracted to any of them girls or any of them guys right now, and that is okay. Like, don't rush it, all right? So as I'm speaking of things, here's what I need you to know, sixth grade, seventh graders, if you're in that boat, is that you may not be dealing with this right now, but you can ask any of the seniors in this room that you will deal with it eventually. So I want you to listen. I want you to listen. And this is what he says. He says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. He who places his faith in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, says, man, they and ask God to be the Lord of their life, they receive the Holy Spirit. They become one spirit with God in unison, that close. He says, so flee from sexual immorality. The people in this day were having trouble having right relationships. They knew relationships were good, but they were struggling with the right relationships. And so what he says to him, he says, hey, you are united with Christ. So flee from sexual immorality. And here's why. Here's why. He says, because every other sin a person commits is outside of the body. Listen, listen. For you who are in relationships that are described here, you need to understand what you are inflicting upon yourself. He says, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Now, what the Bible says is permissible is that sexual relations, intimate relations, are okay and good in marriage. They say, man, in the context of one man, one woman coming together in marriage, he says, man, that is a blessing. It is good. God created us that way. But outside of that marriage, the Bible would say, hey, that would be immoral or wrong. And he says, but it's not just because it's wrong. You need to understand that you're actually affecting your own body, that it's actually taking a toll on your own soul, on your own body. What we would call, what I would describe this as, I would say, hey, the sexual and moral relationships are actually causing baggage. They produce a thing the world knows as baggage. And here's what I mean by baggage. I mean, it's the emotional chaos caused by a bad experience. The emotional chaos, you know this if you've ever broken up with anybody. The emotional chaos caused by a bad experience in a person's past. So in your past, you had extreme emotional chaos, and then it causes this baggage, or another way of saying it's the hang-ups and the insecurities that we carry from our past or previous experiences. It's the things that make us unsure. It's the things that make it hard to trust. It's the things that make us insecure. It's baggage. He says sexual immorality, places where you're doing things that married people do outside of marriage, or you're leading to doing things that married people do outside of marriage. He says, man, those are against your own body. They create baggage in your life. Now, there's two ways to get baggage in a relationship. Number one, you acquire baggage from doing things with other people that should never have been done. The Bible never says it's okay. Like, things that should have never been done. For me, it was hanging out with my friend and throwing mud clods. Like, I created baggage in my life. I created some regret in my life, some shame in my life. I created some insecurity in my life because I just had the cops call on me. Now people are looking at me a little differently. Like, I did things that should never have been done. And that's just a small example, because it goes out through my high school years and college, where I made even more terrible decisions with people that I should have never made those decisions. I should have never done that. It creates baggage in your life. So that's number one. So if you've never been in a relationship, you're like, Caleb, it still applies to you. It still applies to you. The second is this. The second way to get baggage in your life, to acquire baggage in your life, is doing good things or things meant to be good at the wrong time. So for some of you in relationships or in past relationships, you've had experience with this, that you did things that the Bible said, hey, this is meant to be good, this is a good thing, but you did it at the wrong time. It says, man, that's what creates baggage in our life. Now let me explain how this works, because what happens then is baggage is not the example or a mark of satisfaction or experience, but rather if you're carrying emotional baggage, if you're carrying emotional turmoil, it's it shows that you have scars in your life, that you've done things. It's the shame and the guilt, it's the insecurities, like we said. So let me show you how this works. As you come into a relationship, you come into a relationship and you're like, man, they are super cute. I really like them. And so what do? You start talking. You start talking, and like Ben talked last week, is that then you're like, man, how do we make this thing a step forward? I'm going to tell them, well, first I'm going to ask them out, and then I'm going to tell them I love them. I love them. And so what you just did, what you needed to do, is you just grabbed a bag. You just grabbed a bag. And now in this bag could be something good, right? It could be love. Like, this is love. Like, they said they love me. Oh man, I love them too. This is so good. But then what happens? You break up. In Ben's case, you break up 2 days later. And then what are you holding? You're holding a bag that is insecure. You're holding a bag that someone said, I love you. and then they left you, that you're stuck with a bag. And so what do? You need to know that you're loved for real. And so you run to another relationship and you're like, look, I'm going to date someone else, but this time I'm going to let them, we're going to go a little further physically because I really want them to know that I love them. And I want them to know, and I want to know that they love me. And so you got this bag and it could be good and this is great. And then you break up. But you got this bag and it's still there. And now instead of being filled with love and things that bond your relationship together, it's filled with regret and with shame. It's filled with anger. It's filled with insecurity of, am I good enough to be loved? Like, this is, am I good enough? Like, people have been committing and saying things. And so what do? You run to another relationship. You run to another, maybe you run to alcohol. Maybe you run to the party scene. I don't know where you're running, but you run somewhere because you got to deal with the bags and you're dealing with the insecurity. And you go there and all it does, and you're like, man, let me just open it up. Let me just deal with this. This is going to be good. And I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to go to the party scene. And maybe I'm just going to have some casual hookups. I'm just going to try to kiss some people. And maybe they're going to make me feel good. And all it does is it doesn't get rid of your bag, but instead it just multiplies your bag. And then now you've got more to this bag that you tried to handle the wrong way. And so you're there, you're lost, you're still dealing with baggage. So what do? You can find another person who looks cute and you're like, Hey, I love you. This is so good. But because you've already done the other things together with the other people, it's a lot easier to cross lines that you previously had. It's a lot easier to cross boundaries and to do things that you wouldn't have ever done if it was your first date with the first person ever. But you got experience now and you're confident and part of it is physically satisfying, that it's like, this was kind of fun. But yet then in the turmoil, you're left with these bags, because guess what? The physical stuff doesn't make a relationship work. And you break up again. And now you're here. And this goes. Yeah, I should make you sad. The reason I want to tell you this is because there's so many people who then date another person and they grab another bag and they're like, man, this is so, how do I deal? And this is how they continue to deal with relationships. And then they come to the altar where they finally found the person they want to marry. And what they bring to the altar where God says, man, one woman coming together to be united, is they bring the baggage from all the other relationships where they're standing there and they're like, I love you and this is going to work out. But it makes it really hard for it to work out, because it's really hard to serve someone genuinely. It's really hard to love someone purely. It's really hard to share new experiences with someone when you have all the old experiences weighing you down and stopping you from one another. And that is the phenomenon of relationships today. That we are being casual with our bodies. That we're being casual with the way we're treating each other. Hey, you good? That we're being flippant in our dating. That we are hoping that a physical dating relationship will cure something inside that we are craving deeply, this longing to be loved and to be needed and to be wanted. And you guys want to be like, no, that ain't me. I don't have any of that. I'm a dude. But truthfully, guys, I won't tell anybody, but it's in you too, that you have a desire be loved, because it's the way you were created as humans by a God who says, I want you to know my love. And we try to find it in the relationships, and it creates baggage. The way, Paul goes on, he says, the way to avoid the baggage, hear me, the way to avoid the baggage in your life later. Listen, the way to avoid the baggage in your life later when you're standing there wanting to get married is recognizing whose you are now. I didn't say who. I said whose you are now. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he says to them, he says, or do you not know? He says, I'm calling you to flee from sexual immorality. That means to run. That means to get away. That means to go fast. That's not a casual walk. That's not a look back like, but I kind of like. That's a runaway. He says, I'm calling you to flee. He says, or do you not know that your body, listen, is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. He says, you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. He says, so glorify God with your body. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who've placed their faith in Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not naive. There are plenty of people who have placed their faith in Jesus who carry tons of baggage from their bad relationship choices. But he says, if you are a believer, you need to recognize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, a holy God living in you, that you are paid for, and that you are far more valuable, listen, far more valuable than you give yourself credit. I want you to think about that. You're like, well, I think I'm kind of valuable. I think I'm valued. I think I'm all right. And he says, no, you're far more valuable. You're far more valuable than any of that. You're far more valuable than the best person could ever make you feel. He says, that's still undercutting your value. He says, you are a temple that the Lord has chosen to have his Spirit reside in. Listen, he says, you are a temple that the Holy Spirit would be in you and would lead you and guide you, that you would rest in him, that you would know him. He says, man, you're far more valuable. So flee from those other things. Run from those other things. And make you run to Christ. So here's what I'm going to do for you as we close real quick. I want to give you three ways that you can protect the temple, which is you. For you who are believers, man, you are a temple that the Holy Spirit is living in currently right now. And so I want to give you three ways that you can protect the temple. Well, really two ways. And then I want to give you one way that if you are someone who carries a lot of baggage, I want to give you a way to shed the baggage. I want to give you an avenue that you don't have to keep carrying this around, that this doesn't have to be the rest of your life. The first way is this. It's Proverbs 4:23. They all come from the Bible. And Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, you need to understand there are three ways to protect your heart. He says your heart determines the course of your life, so you should guard it. There's three ways to protect it, but there's also three ways to allow it to become infected, to allow baggage to accumulate. The first way is this, what you hear. The first way, what you hear. I want to tell you, I was flipping through through the radio stations the other day. I still listen to the radio sometimes. I was flipping through, I hit a rap station. And a girl, I'm not even going to say her name, she was on the radio station, and it was the most vulgar and graphic song that I've ever heard in my entire life on the radio. And you're like, you would probably name one, and y'all probably all name different ones because they're all super vulgar and super graphic. Shh, don't call it out. For the love of all is good. Do not call it out. But listen,
I literally, I was jaw dropped. Like, is this what's being played? Now, you need to understand, you're not just listening to the beat. You hear the words. And what you put in your head is what you begin to think about. What you listen to, listen, is what changes the way you think. And so if you choose to listen to things that are glorifying, that are pleasing, that are good, and there are some good rappers out there that are Christians, I'm on a mission to find all of them. They're good. That if you choose to listen to some good things, it changes you to be thinking about good things. If you listen to that trash, it's trash, then you think about trash. And if what you think about, you act on. The second way is this, is what you see, what you are watching, who you are watching. Not just TV, but I'm talking about the girls that walk around you, dudes. Girls, I'm talking about the guys that walk around you, that what you are watching, whether it's sexual or violent or horrific, what goes beyond the eyes and it affects the mind and the heart, and what you think about then leads to your actions. The last is this, what you say. James says that your tongue, listen, is actually a rudder for the whole ship of your life, the direction of your life. That what you say is what you think deeper about in the next moment. What you say now is what you think deeper about in the next moment. That if you would guard what you see and what you hear and what you say, that things would be a little different. Now, here's the second way you can guard against the baggage. Guard the temple. Here it is. Second way, I'm going to have one more and then we're done. It's 1 Corinthians 15. It says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right. Bad company corrupts good character. Let me tell you, the relationship that I had in my life that created the most baggage, that I had to come to the altar in front of my wife and I had to say, hey, here are a lot of things, here are a lot of bags that we have to deal with together that I did. The relationship that caused most baggage was with a girl that I met at church, that I went to church with, that was generally a good person. But neither of us prioritized our bodies as temples. Instead, we lived for fleshly desire in the moment. Just being transparent. That bad company does not mean bad people. Y'all got to think about this for a second. Bad company does not mean bad people. It means people who may assist you in making bad choices and not good ones. That person might be sitting in the room next to you. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means they assist you in making bad choices. And they are not good for your character. That they will corrupt your character. That you together will corrupt each other's character. You actually may be that person in the room. That you may be the one that your friends are saying, they corrupt my character. And for you, that should be convicting. That you might be the person that's corrupting other people's good character. Something's got to change. That if you know Jesus, you're a temple. Here's the last thing. I need you to listen close. If you haven't listened to anything else, I need you to listen to this. That if you're carrying baggage and you want to shed baggage, and here's the truth, students. No one will be perfect, and everyone will acquire some sort of life baggage as they go. Why? Because we live in a sinful world that's chaotic and tragic, and things happen, sometimes outside of our control. But to shed the baggage, to find peace in the midst of it all. This is what he says in Acts 3. This is Peter. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have just kind of come to know Jesus or about to come to know Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. This word repent literally means to turn around, to go the opposite direction. If you're in a relationship that is causing bad things that you know is not right, he says, man, repent from that, turn from that, flee from that, go the other direction from that. He says, that seasons, listen, he says, this is a result of repentance. This is a result of running from those things that are so hard to run from sometimes. He says that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. But Jesus has the power to wipe out sin and to wipe out shame and to wipe out guilt and to wipe out regret. That some of you need to rest in that right this moment. That when you run to Jesus, you find seasons of refreshing. So as we close, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, to bow your heads. I'm going to pray for us just a second, but I just need you to think about that. Repentance. Repentance. It takes you and it takes the Holy Spirit working together to change, to turn from what you were doing. And he says, hey, here's a result that you naturally find refreshing in the presence of the Lord. I don't know what you're dealing with. It may not be relationship oriented at all, but you need to understand it may just be tragic things in your life. It may just be hard things in your life, but I need you to understand real quick that when you run to Jesus, you find moments of refreshing. You find moments of rest and of peace. That some of you need to hear that tonight because you've been looking everywhere else and have found none of that, but it's in the presence of the Lord. That's where it's at. That's where you find the refreshing. You find it in the presence of the Lord. Our God is gracious and he is good. He is not one of shame and not one of regret. You're going to go to your small group. You're going to have time to talk about that in just a second. I just want that to be on your heart and on your mind. What would it look like for you to experience a season of refreshing? How refreshing would that be for you? And I know I need it. And I can bet you need it too. God, I thank you for that promise. I thank you for honoring that. God, I thank you for being faithful and true to work in our lives. Lord, may we be broken. God, may we be broken over our sin. God, may you break us. May we come to you with transparency, God. God, may we experience refreshing in your presence. May we experience change. God, thank you for being forgiving. God, thank you for being loving. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've carried, no matter the sins that are in our minds and our hearts, God, we are thankful for your graciousness, for salvation. May we find it in you only. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.